Track 27. Module 5. Listening 1. Page 76. Exercise 2. You'll hear a researcher called Clive Thomas talking about the world's endangered small languages. For questions 1 to 9, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase.
Hi, my name's Clive Thomas, and I've come along to tell you about my involvement in the documenting of some of the world's endangered small languages, by which I mean languages with no written form that are spoken by relatively small numbers of native speakers, often in remote parts of the world. Now, although I'm regularly working with language specialists such as phoneticians and lexicographers, my way into this field was via anthropology, the subject in which I originally graduated. But I've always been interested in linguistics, so this research area has always appealed to me. In recent years, various projects have been working to document and make sound recordings of what are seen as some of the world's most endangered languages. You may have heard of the Oral Literature Project, for example, which is based in Britain, or its US equivalent Enduring Voices, which is the one I'm currently involved with. The Arcadia Project is a third similar organisation. What these bodies have in common is a race against the clock to document these languages before they disappear altogether. It is thought that there are 3,250 critically endangered languages out there, amongst the total of 6,500 languages that haven't been documented in any way. What's amazing is how many languages there are and how few people speak them. Just think. 95% of the world's languages are spoken by just 5% of its people. So, it's hard to know where to start. When I went to the project office, I knew I wanted to document a language, but had no specific criteria to guide my choice. There was a map on the wall covered in pins, each one representing an undocumented language. I guess I could have made a principled decision based on how urgent the need was, but in fact, I made a random choice, and I haven't regretted it. My research took me to a remote area of northern Australia, where I spent 18 months living as the only non-speaker in an Aboriginal group, and I soon began to pick their language up. My first idea was to produce a grammar of the language, and I did quite a lot of work on that before realising that because it was in English, it would be of little use to my hosts. So I changed tack and wrote a bilingual dictionary instead. It meant that I was able to leave them with something accessible and tangible. Since then, I've worked on other projects in South America and Nepal and produced similar results. What I've come to realise is that the greatest threat to these languages is not globalisation or migration, as I had imagined, although these play their part, but education. Governments are keen to provide this for all their peoples, but often lack the resources to do it in all the local languages, which in some countries can run into the hundreds. People often ask me why some parts of the world have such a proliferation of languages in relatively small areas, and languages that can be quite unrelated to each other as well. Sometimes you can point to geographical features like mountain ranges that effectively prevented contact between different groups until recently, but more often, the answer seems to lie in biological diversity. If you live in any area that has everything you need to live well, then you have no need to enter into trade with people from other areas, and therefore no need to communicate with them. And when I'm making recordings, it's not only the language that's being documented, because invariably the language embodies the whole culture. In pre-literate societies, the oral tradition is the way that history, customs, myths, the whole of what we call the folklore of a culture, is tied up with the language itself. And that content is being passed down from generation to generation in the spoken form. If the language is lost, all that goes too. But I'm not so pessimistic about the future of all these languages. If the people who speak them care enough, and if there is political will in terms of giving them the support they need, why shouldn't they survive? In Europe, this is now happening, and the decline in languages like Irish and Scottish has been arrested, whilst Welsh has actually seen a revival in numbers. So I see my job in documenting the languages I work on as preparing the ground for their survival, rather than a last-ditch effort to record them before they disappear. Now, Before I go on to talk about my further expeditions...